Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Overcoming Emotional Eating. I'm Evan, Wendy's podcast producer, and I'm here today to bring you this episode. It's a reposted episode, but Wendy was very confident that the insights in it were well worth the reposting. For those of you who have heard this episode before, I hope you can revisit some of the insights you gained last time and maybe find some new ones. For those of you who are listening to this episode for the first time, welcome, and I truly believe you're going to find some great stuff in this one. This is gearing us up for a new interview that we're going to be posting next week. That interview is going to be incredible. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it, and Wendy is very confident with it. So I hope you all enjoy today's reposted episode of Overcoming Emotional Eating, and I hope you guys are looking forward to next week when we have a pretty incredible interview getting ready to be released for you. All right, enjoy this episode, you guys.
Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hi everyone, it's Wendy again, and today we've got a special episode of our Overcoming Emotional Overeating podcast. One of the things that I recognize during this time is that we all need each other. And as Rumi says, we are all just walking each other home. I know as a therapist, a teacher, a coach, a mentor, a guide, that I can provide insight and wisdom. The more that I've been in my practice over the last 26 plus years, the more I recognize that I learn enormous amounts from the people that I've been blessed to work with. And so today on a special episode, I want to bring you one of my clients that was in one of our centers and has done amazing work, both from a physical perspective and an emotional, psychological perspective. So she can bring you some of her amazing insights so that you can learn from her as well. Kathy was with our center for quite a while. She came into our center at well over 300 pounds and has now lost over 170 pounds. I first met Kathy. She had high blood pressure and lymphedema. In fact, her lymphedema and her lower back pain was so bad that she could only stand up on our Vibe plates for 5 minutes at a time and then had to sit back down. Over the course of the time that she's been with us, I've seen enormous strides for Kathy, not just in weight loss, but in how she looks at food and how she views her life, and her gratitude every day keeps me soaring. So I'm excited to bring you Kathy's journey today, as you can listen to her tell her story and what she's learned. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kathy. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for the privilege. I'm really happy to be here.
Absolutely. So I talked a little bit about, you know, kind of where you were when you came into the center. Can you paint a picture for us of what your life was like at that point?
It's hard to think about those times now. When I walked into the center, I was at my last, that was my last hope. I had tried so many diets over the years. I even was on the FinFin craze when that first came out. Just trying to, I'd been overweight my entire life. I have pictures in my head of being in second grade and going shopping for clothes with my mom and just remembering that I couldn't buy all the cool clothes that all my friends were buying because I was too fat. And so I lived with that most of my life. And as I got into my adulthood and didn't take care of my body, I started to have a lot of physical symptoms. So when I walked into the center, I was desperate. Like you said, I couldn't stand up for more than 5 minutes at a time. I'd had to give up my job. I had a very physical job with the post office and had to give that up and go out on disability. And I remember when I signed those disability papers that I just cried because I loved that job and loved what I did. It was like admitting another level of failure. So when I walked into the center, I felt like a fat failure, basically, and was just desperate for some help and some pain relief. I wasn't sleeping at night. I couldn't sleep through the night because my pain would wake me up and keep me from sleeping. And I actually had my significant other tell me at some point about halfway through the journey that she used to get up in the middle of the night, come check on me to make sure I was still breathing, because the lymphedema and the swelling and the fluid was so bad that she was afraid she was going to lose me.
Wow.
And I remember crying through my first appointment, having to, you know, admit that I was at the end of my rope and I had tried everything I knew to try. You know, my other frustration was everybody kept saying, exercise, exercise. That wasn't an option for me because I couldn't stand up. I guess desperation is a good way to, you know, explain where I was when I walked through those doors.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember that. And so that desperation brought you in. And what started that journey? You know, so many people then begin a journey of saying, I want to lose, you know, X number of pounds. What began to happen for you as you started that journey that kept you engaged and involved?
Well, it's funny, you know, you guys talk about a lot of finding your why. And I am one of those people that has spent a lot of my life doing things for everybody else, making sure everybody else is okay, and kind of ignoring myself and my needs, because I was taught that was selfish, to pay attention to yourself. And at that point, I had unfortunately taken it to the extreme where I was ignoring myself and my body and what I needed. And so it was in the beginning realizing that it's okay to want something different for myself, to realize it's okay to focus on myself for a little while, to allow me to feel better and to be able to, you know, I was letting life happen. I wasn't participating in life because I couldn't.
Yeah, I so get that. I really do. And so how did you find that why? I know that we talk a lot about that. We talked a lot about that at the beginning of your journey and throughout your journey. How did you find that why?
It didn't come right away. You know, in the beginning, I just had to decide. I had to make the commitment to myself and to my spouse that this was something I was going to try. So it took me a little while. In the beginning, it was more of a conscious decision to make some changes. The why started to come as the weight started to drop off. And I started to realize, you know, hey, I can do this. And then I had to kind of just, you know, accept that this was possible and that I deserved it. I had to convince myself that I deserved this. And that wasn't something that, you know, I had, my self-esteem had been so low for so long. I didn't feel like I deserved to have a better life. And so a lot of my why came in realizing and accepting that I really did deserve this, that this was who I could become. And be excited about that. So in the beginning, the why wasn't mine. It was, I made a commitment to my spouse. You know, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to try this. I'm going to do exactly what I'm supposed to do, when I'm supposed to do it, no excuses. And then as I started to have success, because, you know, I hadn't had success for so long. I had to give up my job. I had to stop exercising. You know, I had to stop walking. I love to walk around and be outside. I had to stop doing that. I had not had success for so long that I forgot what it was like to have it. And mm-hmm. then I had to allow myself to have it. I deserve to be mm-hmm. successful. And that was a big part of it for me.
It's a huge part. I mean, I know that, you know, I always say this and I mean it, you know, when we feel good about us, we do good things for us. And that's what you're speaking to. And that's a journey. How did you figure out how to feel like you deserved?
You know, it's funny. I read a book a long time ago that talks about the negative tapes that we play over and over again in our head, and I was really good at that. I had an entire storeroom, so to speak, of negative tapes that I had in my head that I allowed to play over and over and over again. And part of that was not allowing those negative tapes to play anymore. And then using, you know, statements to myself, and it sounds silly, but, you know, if we admit it, we all talk to ourselves, probably more than we'd like to admit. Some of us do it out loud. Some of us do it in private, but we all talk to ourselves. So a lot of it was changing the conversations that I had with myself. It's funny, I didn't tell anybody that I was doing this in the beginning except my spouse. We kind of made this commitment together, and we hunkered down for about 6 months, and it was right around the holidays. Mm-hmm. None of my family understood all of a sudden why I didn't come home for the holidays, but we kind of hunkered down. So it was, I didn't involve a lot of people in the process in the beginning. Some people are very successful in that. I'm more of a private person anyway. So it was about me and what I said to myself. So I had to start just saying to myself over and over again, I deserve this. I can be successful at this. I can, you know, whatever, in a changing those negative tapes into positive tapes. And because I'd spent, you know, I was nearly 50 years old when I started this process. And so I had quite a collection of those negative tapes that I built up over the years. And it was a lot of getting rid of those and replacing them with positive tapes. I deserve this. I am entitled to be happy. I am entitled to feel good. This is okay. It doesn't make me a selfish person to concentrate on myself for a while. You know, I will walk by that bag of chips and not put them in my mouth because I deserve to feel better and I deserve to be happier. And, you know, sometimes I have to work on it now. Funny story, I was talking to a really good friend of mine. She's known me since high school, and we were goofing around. It was about a month ago, and I said, you know, hey, don't make me come over there because I'm bigger than you. And she went, Kathy, no, you're not. So even sometimes now I forget to look at myself in that new body and realize and accept who I've become.
And that's a whole other journey, isn't it, of recognizing where you are now, because you've changed significantly since I first met you from a body size perspective.
You know, I've been on maintenance for about a year and a half now, and I still, you know, at 40 some years of the old body and a year and a half of the new body, I still sometimes forget who I am. You know, somebody will walk by me and I'll move to get out of the way. And forget. I don't have to do that anymore. You know, just little things like that. But it's, you know, even now of accepting, hey, this is the new me. This is who I've become. This is who I am. Using a lot of present statements of this is where we are now versus not allowing myself to think about who I was in the past anymore.
Yeah, which is why I believe you have been so successful, because you got to this different place. You know, one, you not just did the work physically by, you know, changing your food and what you were putting in your body, and but also I know that the first round of holidays, you know, you mentioned you started doing this change kind of right before the holiday season. That first round of holidays, I remember you and your partner stayed at home in order to be supportive of you, which, you know, was that first step in putting yourself back on the docket and saying, you know, I'm going to take care of myself. And just knowing that going with a large group of people for those holidays would have been very difficult to stay on plan. And that shift for you of just starting to let go of the selfish mantra and move into I deserve was there in my mind, looking externally, of putting yourself in the equation as opposed to the final, you know, the final participant on the list of who gets something. And I love that you did that. So in that was where, you know, we started to see that. But I know the other part down the road when you have gotten, you know, to where you wanted to be weight-wise and you've changed these internal tapes radically, now you've worked on a new identity piece, which is beautiful. But, you know, this is where I am now, and I'm not like that, and I am in this. And embracing and really understanding that embracing the new identity is imperative for success. And I think people underestimate that component.
Right. And you know, for me, and I know, you know, if you, most people that are overweight didn't get that way overnight. Most people that I've talked to and come in contact with, you know, we've pretty much been fat our whole lives. We've built up. And we spent a lot of time investing in this body, you know, good or bad. And so it's so important that to learn, you know, we've just been taught that it's selfish to focus on ourselves. And yeah, there's a fine line. You learn to walk the balance. But, you know, the minute that you realize the moment that I realized that I deserved this, allowed myself to focus on myself, because I think that was part of my overweight too. I didn't like who I was, so I spent a whole lot of time getting other people to like me. So I was always giving, you know, if you needed something, I was there. And part of it was my belief system, but I think part of it was also the lack of self-esteem and self-confidence that I had in myself, that, you know, I don't like myself, but these other people like me because I'm there and I'm doing and giving, and so it allowed me, I think, to tolerate myself for a very long time. And so once we hunkered down and spent those few months by ourselves, it was just me. That's all I had to deal with. And so I had to do some pretty serious coming to terms with what was going on in my head and why, you know, you find the why of why you're doing this weight loss, but you also have to find the why of why you're doing what you're doing. You know, and you and I have talked about this before. For me, you know, it started a long time ago with drug and alcohol abuse. And I realized that the why of that, once I gave that up, I substituted to the extreme with food, because I was trying to avoid emotion. I didn't like to feel. I was one of those girls that didn't cry and made fun of girls that did. I didn't want to feel, and so I had to go back to figuring out why I was doing what I was doing and then allow myself to actually feel what I was feeling. And you know, in the beginning, emotions are really scary.
Yeah.
They're not fun, especially if you've never dealt with them before. And so that was a big part of this journey as well, is allowing myself to actually feel what I'm feeling and understand why I'm feeling it and then going ahead and feeling it. And you know what? I cry now and I live to tell about it. It's okay.
I love that you mentioned that, you know, because it is not uncommon for what we call transfer addiction to happen. So when someone gives up drugs or alcohol, or for some people it's gambling or sex addiction, but, you know, an addiction, that it can easily move its way into food. It's more acceptable, quote unquote, right? It's not going to ruin your life in the moment like drugs or alcohol might. And you can get away with it for a long time before it starts to take you down. And you got to the point that food was starting to take your body down, so to speak. But that transfer addiction is talked about, but it's talked about so quietly in the profession. And I'm glad you brought it up, because it's imperative to understand that there's a lot of people who move from drugs or alcohol to food. And then figuring out What you did is you took a good hard look at yourself and you figured out, okay, so I had this addiction that moved to this addiction. Like, what's the reason for the addiction? What's the reason for that? And for you, it was avoiding emotions. And what I've said for forever in my private practice is that emotions are not emergencies, just emotions. Feelings are not always facts. They're just feelings, right? And they're not going to hurt you. But in the moment when you turn around and face yourself and face those feelings, it is one of the hardest things I've watched people do. That part of your journey, I commend you for all of your journey, but that part of your journey was critical in order for you to get to where you are today.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's so easy because food is the addiction. You know, when you're a drug addict or an alcoholic, people, it's a very public disease most of the time. You know, people can kind of see you and go, you shouldn't be doing that. But a food addiction is a very private thing. You know, I would venture to say that there's a lot of people that did exactly what I did. If nobody sees me eat it, then they're not going to judge me. So I was one of those closeted middle of the night eaters. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever overeat with other people around. You know, I had a lot of people would say to me, you don't eat that much. I don't know why you're so heavy. It must just be your, you know, your body type. But I was that closeted eater that would not eat in front of other people. So it was very easy to hide, mm-hmm. but it was also so much more difficult to bring to the forefront of my mind to deal with and realize, okay, why are you doing this? What is the real reason? You know, you're feeling whatever it is you're feeling, stress or anxiety or anger. I mean, for me, it was the whole, it didn't matter. Stress, anxiety, anger, sadness, happiness. I mean, you name the emotion and I could eat around it. And so having to bring all that into the light, so to speak, was a very important part of this. And it's not easy by any way, shape, or form, but just, you know, something that's part of the process of being serious about, you know, losing weight. Because this wasn't just a fad diet, you know, like all the rest of them. Mm-hmm. This was a lifestyle change. And so, unfortunately, in the process, I had to tackle some pretty heavy stuff. And it wasn't always fun. And it mm-hmm. wasn't always easy. It's funny. One of my favorite lines that your husband used to use in his calls was, sometimes you just got to make it to the pillow. If you tried everything else to cope with and deal with your struggles during the course of the day, and you don't feel like anything else is working, rather than giving in, sometimes you just got to make it to the pillow. And I love that. I have that actually on my wall in my office. And so sometimes that was so important for me in the process of, you know what, sometimes what I'm doing is not working, but we're going to keep fighting this, and we're not going to give in to the temptations. And, you know, no, I don't necessarily know why I'm feeling this, but I'm going to make it to the pillow without doing anything to hurt myself today. Mm-hmm. And a lot of days it was that simple, just, you know, deciding that I was not going to pick up that cookie or that bag of chips or that whatever and just make it to the pillow, so that once I laid down, I knew that I had not sabotaged myself on that particular day. And sometimes it was just, you know, that's what needed to happen.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that you have that and that he gave that to you, so to speak, and that you held that, because holding on to a specific belief, a specific quote or phrase absolutely help us through our darkest times. So that's fantastic. I really love that, and I appreciate you sharing that. What helps you now? So now you're, you know, 170-ish pounds less. You eat different. Your life is different. What is the picture like for you now?
Well, I'm exercising again, which is my favorite accomplishment. You know, nothing too crazy. I went for a walk the other day. It was just, you know, we're starting to get into some beautiful weather here. Mm-hmm. And I went for a walk. And I have tried that in the past. And, you know, I had to kind of build up to I could walk just this far before I had to turn around. And I walked. I got all excited because I went all the way down to the end of my street to the stop sign. And I turned around and came back. And I had never done that before. And that, it sounds silly to say out loud, but for me, mm-hmm. that was a big accomplishment. You know, mm-hmm. so I'm starting to be able to exercise and do the things I want to do. I went zip lining last month. That wow. was, for some reason, what I wanted to do at the end of my weight loss journey, because we had gone to this park a couple of years ago, and I didn't make the weight restrictions. And for some reason, that stuck in my head of something that I just had to overcome. Now, mind you, I'm afraid of heights, and I don't know why zip lining got stuck in my head, but it did. Yeah. And so I decided that at the end of this journey, that's what I wanted to do. So last month, we went zip lining, and it was just like so much fun, and it was like this pinnacle of, yes, I've made it. I did it.
I love it. Love that. And I love that you put that, you know, we're constantly on different journeys in our life. I believe that. I also know that as we evolve, we move to the end of one journey and then begin another. And I love ritual of the movement between each phase. And so I love that you chose something to kind of symbolize this moment for you, or these moments, you know, over the last couple of months of where you have moved into this new identity and lost the weight and are able to move and breathe and feel good in your body, and there's no disease left in your body, and that you picked zip lining, which I think is fantastic.
Well, I'm so happy with where I am now, you know, and don't get me wrong, I still struggle and I still have to be very mindful of what I'm doing. You know, those old habits, even a year and a half later, those old habits are easy to slide back into because, you know, like I said, I spent 40 some years investing in that crappy body. But, you know, I have a lot of the tools now to deal with, you know, hey, why, you know, in the middle of the day, if I want to eat, especially right now in these days and times, you know, stress and eating is mm-hmm. the number one thing that I think a lot of people are going to be dealing with. And mm-hmm. it's even for me, you know, I work from home. Fortunately, I'm blessed to be able to do that, but it's still a stressful time. And so, you know, if I go for the fridge in the middle of the afternoon, I have to be like, hey, what are we doing? Are you mm-hmm. really hungry, or mm-hmm. is there something else going on? So I still have to practice that, you know, on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis of being aware, but also realizing that I am not that same person. And I spent a whole lot of time letting myself down in the past, but that's not who I am anymore. So I expect better from myself. And that's been a really important part too. You expect who I am now and expect better from myself. I don't expect those old habits from myself. I expect better, and I expect to act in a more responsible manner with my body now. And so, but I still have, it's still a conscious decision. You know, I don't think it will ever come naturally, but I also had to realize that that's okay too. You know, mm-hmm. it's okay that I struggle with that, and I have to allow myself, you know, I was also one of those people that always had to be better than everybody else, and I had to outdo everybody else, and I had to get 100 on the test. If I got a 99, that was not acceptable. And so I have to allow myself to struggle. And that's also something that I'm not very good at. But now I allow myself to struggle, and I go, okay, you know, it's okay that I would rather eat an Oreo rather than a peach. That's okay to think that way. But then make the conscious decision to pick up the peach instead of the Oreo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Being in that awareness mode, right? And you're right. It is okay that, you know, we all have specific things that we need to be aware of and we need to be awake for, right? If we go through life sleeping, you know, if we quote Bono, right, I'm wide awake. I heard that on my Facebook feed this morning. If we go through life sleeping, we will never feel alive. And so that awareness is really just about being awake in your own self, your own body, and knowing, you know, what your awareness needs to be around in order for you to thrive in your life. And so I love that you have found that component and you have accepted that. There's been so many beautiful things that you've brought today to this call: acceptance, grace, and your ability to absolutely understand that you do deserve good things and that you're not selfish in that plight. And for that, Kathy, I tip my hat off to you, as I always have since the day I first met you. You're a beautiful human being, and you've done amazing things, and you do deserve all the greatness that you achieved. And I so appreciate you coming on and sharing all your wisdom with us today.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the platform to share my story. And, you know, I thank you for being an important part of this journey and kind of helping guide the way for a lot of these discoveries to happen. And so thank you. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you all for joining us and listening to a special episode of the Overcoming Emotional Overeating podcast. We'll be back again soon. Take good care and take care of each other.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.